Good evening. If you got a good nap, say amen. Amen. If you can get a good nap, say oh me. Emma Joy said oh me. Yeah. You need a nap, all right. Don't think that's the case, sweetheart. All right. If you did not get a handout, did everybody get a handout? Are we good on handouts? We may be a few short. All right. We are starting a new series on spiritual gifts this evening, and I hope it'll be a help to you as we work through this series. Now, we're going to kind of take a break in the middle of it because I'll work on this lesson one tonight. We will do lesson two next week, and then the following week, I think it's the 20th, if I'm not mistaken. And our intern, Stephen Beppel, will be here at that point. He'll be speaking the next couple of Sunday nights starting the 20th in the evening services. So be praying for Stephen as he'll be driving up next Saturday and staying with us for a few weeks at our house and doing some different things. He'll be speaking on Sunday nights, 20th, 27th, as well as the 3rd of August. And so looking forward to hearing him and what the Lord has laid on his heart, as I've already shared with him, that he can he'll be working and teaching and speaking some while he is here. So, that then brings us to this. So, have your Bibles handy. We're going to turn to several different passages. I know that we just got in a routine and working through the Constitution, and I know in the morning services we were working through books of the Bible, so a little bit different format, and I'll try to have handouts for you each week, and we'll fill in some blanks and that kind of thing, and so I'll do the best I can to follow the blanks. I know the 1 week I did this, and I kind of blew off a bunch of blanks, and you're all kind of looking at me like, whoa, what just happened? So I'll do my best to follow along for you and to keep track of what's going on. So just like it's new to you with you back at the clipboard, it's also new to me again after what we did in just the past. So we're all kind of getting back into the different routine as well. Also, it's good to have, if you notice, we've had lately Jeffrey Hamilton. He's the teenager. He's been working in our sound booth in the mornings. Micah this evening is doing the sound here. Isaiah is recording. And then Mr. Hamilton will be working here in the sound booth here soon as well. So we're kind of getting more and more people learning a little different things, and that we can rotate people in and out. And, you know, the more hands make letter loads and all that kind of stuff. And also, if you still haven't signed up for help or gotten information on Vacation Bible School, Hope has a table there in the back. I encourage you to get information or talk to Hope. And it's coming up here real soon. Looking forward to a good time in that. All right, well, we're looking at spiritual gifts. A lot of things to cover here. This is about a 12 or 13-week series, so we'll be in this for a while, especially with the break in the middle with Stephen going to be here. And a lot of misunderstanding and understanding on this topic, and some of this may be review for you. That's okay. It's always good to get refreshers on that kind of thing. And so having a spiritual gift and what does it mean, and we're going to answer all those questions. There's five questions here we're going to answer tonight in our lesson on what is spiritual gifts, all right? Suppose someone who loves you bought you a thoughtful gift. It's a gift that will make your life meaningful, exciting, and enjoyable. The giver beautifully wraps the gift, gives it to you, but you're not interested or appreciative enough to open the gift. Imagine how hurt and disappointed the person that gave the gift would be if you did that. Truthfully, that's how God may feel with believers who act as if they have not been given any abilities to use for Him. And I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but just to kind of let the cat out of the bag here, if you're a believer, you've been given some sort of spiritual gift to use for the work of the Lord. And so that's kind of the picture and the idea that we're going to look at this evening. And question number one, you see on your page, is what is a spiritual gift? So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at I'm going to read the first 11 verses, then we'll kind of go back through and hit some specific things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or not have any idea what's going on. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all. Who works all in all. Excuse me. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. All right, so you will notice in verse number 4 of the text we just read, it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And so what I wrote there in that first blank is there's diversity of gifts. That word diversity is the idea that there are different in function. All right, and again, if you want to add your own notes to this, it's perfectly fine. I didn't put everything on the page, but there's a diversity of gifts, that first blank there. And that word diversity means that they're different in function. So since the Holy Spirit is the source of all spiritual gifts, there is unity in the diversity. Okay? So not everybody has, we're not cookie cutters, we're not machines. All right? If you go and buy a certain kind of computer, you expect it to do what the box says. Expect it to do. All right? We'll get into that. We're all different, and I'm glad for that. All right, some of you say, well, you're a little more different than... Well, I understand that. But nonetheless, God uses our personalities and God uses our abilities and he gives us these different gifts and we are able to use these things in different ways. Okay? The word translated gifts, there's a blank there, means gifts or endowments of grace. All right? So, in other words, the idea of a gift can also be, the next blank would be a grace gift. Like salvation, our undeserved spiritual gifts come from God. Now understand this, whether or not you think that you have quote-unquote ability or not, that is given to us by God. One of the things I think that's really challenging, especially for people who are maybe younger in the faith or new believers, is, well, I don't have any gifts. And what they're doing is they're comparing themselves to seasoned believers who've been in the faith for 25, 35, 45 years. Quite frankly, that's not fair to either. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves anyway, but regardless of that, it would be like me comparing myself, I'm a big basketball guy, it'd be like me comparing myself to a professional basketball player. I played one guy one-on-one once when I worked in the sports academy in Georgia, one-on-one, he was a professional player, I was me. And that didn't end very well for me, okay? It's what he was paid to shoot and paid to be a pro athlete. I was just happy to be there, and I think I got one shot off, okay? And that was a Hail Mary shot that just kind of floated someplace, all right? You can't compare, all right? And to say that, you know, he just got lucky or I just didn't play well is not the case. He's worked on his craft. He's worked on those things. And so many times believers act as if, well, I just can't do what they do. Well, that's the wrong motive and the wrong perspective, okay? We need to just take what God's given to us and use it for His glory, and we're going to get into that in a little bit, but and just hone that thing to where we can be as effective as the Lord allows us to be and worry about Him using that gift for us as opposed to us comparing to everybody under the sun and what they're able to do, okay? And so it's very important that we have that right perspective when it comes to that. Look at verse 11 of our chapter. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And so where it says, how does 1 Corinthians 12, 11 explain spiritual gifts? That there are different kinds of gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. And so understand that we may not all have the same gift, and that's a good thing. Remember, I know I've been beating this for the last year, that we're the body of Christ, there's unity in Christ. I'm really glad that my hands don't do what my feet do. I'm really glad that my heart doesn't do what my lungs do. I'm really glad that my sensory and touch doesn't do what my hearing does. They all have a unique function and they're all important. You say, well, which one's more important? I'm glad they all work. All right? I'm glad every bit of it works. Okay? And so understand that, honestly, that's really how we need to view the body of Christ. And understand that there's a role that's significant for each thing. And so that's vital for us to get. So there's different roles, different kinds of gifts. And then there's a question there. What's the difference between a talent and a gift? Well, I want you to hear this, and I didn't leave you a lot of space, but just think about this for a minute. A talent performs. A spiritual gift ministers. A talent performs. A spiritual gift ministers. Now, understand, they could be one and the same. The question is the motive for how it's used. I can't speak for a lot of different gifts, but I can speak for this. I can say this. That is probably the most tempting for those that are really into music. All right, and I know there's other illustrations, but having had some friends that were into music, I can tell you that was always a challenge for them because their desire was to sing a song that proclaimed the glory of God without it becoming a performance. And it's really important that whether it's that or whether it's even speaking and preaching, that it's not a performance. It is ministering to God's people and worshiping God Almighty. And so that's a real challenge, okay? And especially my wife, you know, she was in the music in college, and she had a lot of friends that were in that department, and they tend to be more on the artsy side, you know, those folks are. And that's okay. But that just means that in time, that can be a real challenge in the performance avenue of it, okay? And so we don't want our talent to just be a performance. I used to tell my kids when I coach basketball, you're not playing to make so-and-so in the stands happy. You're playing to work as a unit to be successful. Then everybody up in the stands will be happy. And you'd always have somebody on the team that was always looking in the stands and they're not worried about anything else going on. And I had to pull them aside and say, listen, you're playing for the wrong reason. How do you know? I can tell. I can tell where your attention is, where your focus is. It's on stats and Susie up in the stands, not your teammates. Okay? And everything was the wrong focus. And the same thing can happen for us as believers. We don't share the gospel with somebody to just say, wow, look what I did. That can even be performance. Think about that for a minute. Well, I shared the gospel this week with 15 people. How about you? What are we doing that for? Okay. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place to praise God for what he's done. Again, you don't know my heart and I can't know yours. But we have to understand that that has to be something that we have to continually deal with and think through. And how are we doing what we're doing? How are we saying what we're saying? These are things that matter at the heart level, okay? And as I often quote, as David said, my heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? All right, well, God does. So we have to allow him to try and search our hearts so that we can be pure and blameless before him. So that this idea here, I know I didn't say a whole lot here, but this is key. If you want to circle it, highlight it, everyone to do it. But a talent performs, a spiritual gift ministers. A talent glorifies the person. A spiritual gift will glorify God. Spiritual gifts make us ministers, not performers. Let me just say this real quick too, okay? This is a challenge, I believe, for us as a church as we grow young Christians and young people. There is a tendency and a habit of parents to, when they find out that their children have a ability in some form or fashion, to just immerse that person in whatever it is they can get the quote-unquote scholarship in, to just push that, rather than look at that thing and say, how can you use that for the Lord? Now, again, I'm not suggesting it's wrong to look for a scholarship. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a motive thing, okay? And as a church, as a parent, and as believers who are looking to grow other believers, it ought to be our focus is, all right, when somebody comes to Christ and we begin to disciple them and they begin to grow in the Lord and begin to get plugged into a ministry, that it is purposeful for us to train them for the ministry side, not just the quote-unquote talent side of things, okay? And so it's really important that we understand that a spiritual gift glorifies God, a talent will glorify the person. And it's a very, very important. Listen, I've seen pastors who, by the time they were done speaking, I felt more like I was watching a performance on stage than I was hearing God's word and what it said. I'm a very talky person, and I like personal illustrations, and it's a challenge for me sometimes. Okay, that's quite frankly one reason why I sit down on Sunday nights, because then there's a lot less distraction. I'm just sitting here, all right, and it's what we've got in front of us, and you can call it boring or whatever the case may be, but we are looking at what God's word has to say about this topic and this topic alone, it's a huge concern to me. I like media. You all know that, okay? But even media can have a distracting quality to it if we're not careful, okay? All of these things, they can be used for good. I mean, just think about this. 15 years ago, this earpiece would have been called a distraction. It was the lapel and the lapel only. And you use this thing, it was a distraction because, I mean, that's a newfangled contraption and, you know, you guys that are, you know, independent, fundamental, stick to the book, wouldn't use this kind of thing. And this is just a tool. That's all this is. It's just a tool. This is just a tool. That's all it is. Okay? And so point being is that we have these things to use them to spread the gospel, but when they become distractions, then it's a problem. All right? And so we have to make sure that what we're doing, what we're using, are not just distracting things that just take our gaze off and it's entertaining and fun. And no. We're here to worship and to learn about who God is and what God's done for us. All right, so that's number one. Number two, who has spiritual gifts? Verse 7 of our text answers that for us. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. So if you're a believer, that would be you. Now, I know in a group this size, someone says, you don't understand, Pastor. Remember what I already said. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. And then secondly, you will note if you want to write there, every believer, the next thing says every true Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And then look at this. It might only be in seed form, but it is there. So you understand what that means then. In seed form means it may not be developed yet. That's okay. Being a junior high teacher for 15 years, I love the idea of the word potential. I love walking into eighth grade class because eighth graders remind me of kittens. I know the looks already. See, kittens are cute, but they're obvious. Cats are sneaky and older. I can't handle the senior hires. Forget them. Give me the junior hires. I'll teach them all. They'll just blurt out what they're thinking and not think anything of it, and you can just go, no, come here, I need to fix that. Let's mold this and go on. And you see the potential. You say, all right, if this kid was to harness this and follow the word of God, he's going to do these things. And you know, and you see the potential. Again, potential is possibility, not going to happen. And understand that if we have a gift that's in seed form, let's not hide it, quote unquote, under the bushel. Let's ask God to help us develop it, find mentors that can help us grow it so that we can use that ability for all His glory. My mom and dad, most of you know them. I would say one of my mom's spiritual gifts would be hospitality. She loves to entertain. And I remember as a kid, there was always a chocolate cake being made, and there's always someone coming to the house after a service or after a revival meeting to encourage and just have a cup of coffee, a cup of hot tea, and a slice of cake. I mean, I remember always seeing the crystal dish being opened and a new Hershey's chocolate cake, half chocolate, half vanilla, the other half coconut sprinkle on top. Oh, man. And I can just remember that. You know, that was the cake. And I remember looking, you know, don't put that lid back. You know, brother so-and-so's coming over tonight. Don't touch that. Okay, I'll be here, you know. And so, but that was one of my mom's things, was just being a hospitable, encouraging kind of person, okay? And you say, what's the point of it? The point is that my mom just didn't one day say, hey, you know, let's have everybody over. And it started off with just one person, And then it became one other person, and then became and just began to grow. And our pastor had my mom and dad over and encouraged them on how to be hospitable to people, and just continued that trend. Point being is that it doesn't just happen overnight. Nothing happens overnight. It takes time to develop these kind of things. So if you think to yourself, I don't have one, you probably do. It could be in seed form. Maybe it needs being developed. All right. Maybe there's a lot of different maybes involved in that, but that's really important. Three, how many spiritual gifts are there? All right. Well, so in turn over to Romans 12, Romans chapter 12. Now, this list I'm going to give you here is not going to be exact because authors vary on this. Okay. They group some together, some they don't group. So again, this is not an exact science. Okay, Romans 12, and we are looking at verses 6, 7, and 8. Says this: having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right, so in this list here, there are seven gifts that are listed. And there I have them laid out for you. Prophecy would be preaching and will be preaching. Ministry would be service areas, helpers. You know, we say this often here, but for example, all right, the gift of the servants of nursery are not listed here. But if you've ever worked in the nursery, or if you ever have had kids that need to go in the nursery, you know that's a tremendous ministry that is useful to parents who are then less distracted. All right, so if you're able to watch children and minister to them and to help the parents, there's a tremendous gift that's often overlooked. All right, maybe you're a greeter. That's not here. But that's another ministering thing, to just welcome people. Can I help with anything? Maybe it's helping with the Lord's table. We've had Hope head that up and get people involved in that and doing different things with that and setting it up and tearing it back down. Those are things that are just helpful things that are behind the scenes that are done. Some people come in and they help do this and do that around here and change a light bulb now and then or rake the gravel out back and just different things. Those are all things that aren't on the headlines, are not broadcast, but those are things that get done. All right, and those are huge assets. They're huge helps. All right, so that's the idea there of that ministering kind of thing. All right, even helping deliver the Lord's table, and even helping with the offering and ushering, those kind of things. Those are all helpful things. This morning, for example, I was walking in, and somebody said to me, "Do you know where the offering plates are?" No. Why? He goes, "Oh, they're not back here." I said, "I'm glad you said something now." So I began to link. Okay. He said, "They're probably over here." So I went and looked. There they were. Not a big deal. It would have been a big deal if it was time for the offering. You see what I'm saying? So I said, "Thank you so much for thinking of that when you did. That's a huge help." You know, those are the kind of things that, you know, just sometimes are easy to get overlooked. And then when it's, how come that's not just a simple oversight? We caught it 15 minutes before the service ever started. No big deal. Okay. But those are simple things, aren't they, that can be a huge help. And many of you have helped in many of those kind of avenues, and I'm so thankful for that. So ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, he that rules, or a leadership kind of a thing, also government, mercy. And then what we just read in 12, there's eight others listed: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All right, now, and then 12:28 lists apostles is a gift. Now we don't. There's no more apostles today. So understand that all of these gifts that we're listing, we would not believe that they're all continuing today. Some of them ceased at the end of the book of Acts. Okay, but again, understand that we're just laying out what the Bible explains as gifts. So we see eight others, and then we see 12:28 also lists apostles as a gift. 1 Peter 4:9 also adds hospitality. I kind of jumped the gun about my mom about that one, but 1 Peter 4:9 adds hospitality to that. And then 1 Corinthians 7:8 includes singleness as a gift. Paul mentions that in that passage about being single and how he's able to accomplish things because he's not taking care of family and those kind of things. And it tells us that if you're able to do that and accomplish more for the cause of Christ, great. If not, then it's better to be married. Okay. And so again, another one of those kind of gifts that, you know, it's not something that we're trying to get. It's what God delivers to us as people. And everybody has different gifts. Again, it's vital for us to realize that it's okay if your gift's a hair different than somebody else. All right? I mean, maybe you have a gift of hospitality, but it's not like somebody else. That's okay. Maybe you don't have people to your house, but you're the kind of person that thinks, ooh, they need a meal. That's okay. Everybody is able to do these things just a little bit different than somebody else does. Okay? Nonetheless, God is still able to use these things in different avenues and in different ways. So in total, then, there's at least 20 different gifts in these passages. Around 20. All right? So, again, I go back to this. When I was in New Jersey on staff, one of my jobs, I was in charge of all the ushers. We had about 30 ushers, and I made a list and head usher and that kind of stuff. And at one point, we were kind of short ushers, and so I went to our pastor and said, hey, what do you think of me getting some of my teenagers who are in my youth group to start ushering? He says, well, it's fine. They got to be this age and this, that, and the other. No problem. So I would pull certain boys along and say, hey, I want you to come to this meeting. Have an after the morning service. We're going to discuss being an usher. Are you interested? What do I got to do? I said, come to the meeting. We'll talk about it. You know. So we started getting one guy, then two, then three, then four. And it was pretty neat to see them kind of get involved and help people sit down. And, you know, the older folks that they need some help, find a seat, and then taking the offering. And, you know, just helping in different areas and opening doors for people and hand out just all those things. Okay. Now, there's were young people that had we not asked them, they may never had a chance to minister in that way, and they may have just kind of been over in the corner reading their iPod and just kind of doing whatever, and we got involved in things. And so, you know, you might think, well, I don't know whether I can or I can't, or they can or they can't. It never hurts to ask, does it? Would you be interested in helping in this area? All right, and so those are tremendous things to be able to be a help to us. The diversity of gifts can be divided into three main categories. So the author that I'm using the study from, he divides them into three main categories, okay? And the first one is the serving gifts. That's service, leadership, giving, mercy, hospitality, faith, discernment, and singleness. And then there are the speaking gifts. Knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, exhortation, pastor, teacher, apostle, evangelist. And the last one is sign gifts. Miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And so again, understand that one of those, serving, speaking, signs, not one of them is better than the other, all right? And understand that I can't speak, but I serve. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And again, there's a lot of people that are terrified to even stand and give a testimony in a group this size. That's okay. I mentioned this morning that we should have the ability to share one-on-one what Christ has done for us and what he can do for them. But I totally understand people who are, you know, flabbergasted the idea of standing in front of a group of 10 or 15 people. I understand that. All right, some people have that ability. Some folks don't. I went to that conference back in April, in Louisville, and there was about 7,000 people at that conference. And I remember thinking to myself, it'd be so neat to stay on that stage and speak in front of that many people. That'd be a neat experience, okay? Now, God's never given me that experience, okay? For some people, they would say, I would never want to go on that stage. That's okay. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just one of those things, okay? And so understand that having these gifts, it's not, well, one's better than the other, or, oh, look, I've made it to this level and you haven't. That's not the way we need to view spiritual gifts, okay? The local church, the church in general, it's not a stepping stone. This isn't corporate America. We're trying to climb over somebody else to get to position A. You know, that's not how to view the Bible and the church. All right? And I think it's really important that we have that perspective and that we understand that when we look at this. Our God is a God of variety. These gifts might be manifest, again, in different ways. And so, again, when we're talking about the speaking gifts, you know, maybe someone would say, I'd love to do a small Bible study. Pastor, could I have a Bible study at the church on Tuesday mornings? Awesome. You know, but if I said to you, hey, how about doing a class on Sunday? Oh, whoa, that's too... That's okay. You know, we all have limitations. But God is able to use what He's given to us for the glory of Him and for the church. All right? So number four then, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Turn over to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. All right, 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So, purpose is to minister, as every man receives a gift, minister to one another. Minister to one another. Now remember, we're the body of Christ. We're all working in harmony. Yesterday, my left knee swelled up. It was just a mess. Just sore and achy. Hard to do too much. You know how it goes, okay? So yesterday, I had to keep my knee up and have ice on it. You know, my hand didn't rebel and say, I'm not helping that knee. That's ridiculous. My arm didn't say, no way. That knee gets all the credit for doing this, that, and the other. We're not helping the ice bag get there. No, I wanted help with my knee, and we all work together to get the knee taken care of. Okay, now I know it's kind of a silly illustration, but I even mentioned this morning how as a church striving to work together, there should be unity in helping bring people along. And that's the same case here. If we have a gift and we're able to help someone else, then we should use that to minister. Remember, it says minister, not perform. There's a difference, okay? So minister one another. And then it's another purpose is to maintain unity of the faith. To maintain unity of the faith. And we need to understand that there should be unity in what we are trying to do. And enable believers to grow in the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature in the Lord. And so, in then Ephesians 4:13, if you'll jump over there real quick, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4 and verse number 13 says this, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And then it says, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the idea there is, tells us that another goal is for us to conform to the image of Christ. The idea there is to conforming to the image of Christ. So we're using these gifts to conform, where it tells us in that verse 13, to measure the stature, the fullness of Christ. We are seeking to become more Christ-like. We're not using these gifts to puff ourselves up. We're not using these gifts to announce we've arrived. We're not using these gifts to proclaim, look what I've done. We're using this to measure up to who Christ is, to conform to His image. Turn over to Romans 11. As we come to question number 5, Romans chapter 11, can spiritual gifts that are not used be lost? Well, we mentioned earlier that they're kind of like a seed that maybe hasn't developed, and that may have already answered the question for you. But in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 29, it says this, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The idea there is that they're not taken back, okay? And so maybe you have, again, that spiritual gift that's just not been developed. It's just not been used the way it should be used. Let me encourage you with this. No matter what your gift is, never view the opportunities that are given to you as too small. For example, let me use music again, so I used that one already. Okay, it's clear that the Lord's giving you the gift of ministry music. All right, and somebody says to you, for example, just using this as an example. Hey, I heard you can sing. That'd be great. Would you like to sing? And you're thinking, oh, good, here comes my chance of singing. Sunday morning service, whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. But come sing at our nursing home ministry. Oh. Nursing home ministry. I run a singing church. Well, there's a opportunity for us as a church to take someone who's developing in the faith and getting them all the opportunities possible to use their talent, to use their gift for ministry purpose, not just performance purposes. Okay, whatever it might be. Again, I'm not. There's nothing wrong with this or that or whatever. But all I'm saying is that sometimes we think, well, that's, you know, I've heard people who are in performance, well, that's not a big enough venue for me. That should never be the perspective of us as a believer who is seeking to minister. When we were living in New Jersey, one of the young ladies who worked for me in the Christian school, her dad was a pastor of a small church about 30 minutes from our church, and he got really, really sick at one point and needed help filling the pulpit. And they called me and said, would you be willing to come and speak for us on a Sunday? We really need somebody to fill the pulpit. I didn't say, well, how many are going to be there? I didn't say, well, you know, it's gonna cost you. No. Have you talked to my pastor? I need to get, you know, my pastor wants me here on campus to help with things. Call him. If it's okay with him, I'd be honored to help. You know, and if I can help, I will. And so they got it worked out. I'd be happy to come. Okay. Well, I'm saying that to say this is the issue is not the venue or who it is. You know, a few weeks ago I had a chance to go speak at a funeral in Erie. You know, those folks just needed somebody to help minister to and just encourage them. You know, it didn't matter to me whether it was 3 people there or 500. I just wanted to be encouragement to them. Okay, and so that's the. I'm not using those as to say, look what I did. I'm just saying that those are things that are fresh in my mind. I think to myself, here are things that no matter the venue, let's use the ability that God's given to us to minister to the saints of God. And so these things cannot be taken back. This is true of salvation. It is also true of spiritual gifts. So discovering, developing, and using your spiritual gift is a divine responsibility. Don't take this lightly. It's a divine responsibility. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation you were called. Do you remember that time you got a job and you were excited about your job and you wanted to be there on time? You wanted to impress the boss, work hard, extras, all those things? We should view the ministry ability that God's given to us like that, then some. Take the ability that God's given to us and use it for His glory until He takes us home. So these are just 5 ideas, 5 questions that help us understand better the journey of spiritual gifts and just understanding better about spiritual gifts. Next week we'll discuss gifts of service leadership. We're going to go through some more detail. This is just an opening lesson on how to understand better about spiritual gifts. And so let's ask God to help us, if we haven't developed these things, ask God to help us develop these things more for His use, for His glory, edify the believers, encourage and help, and obviously uplift the name of Jesus Christ more and more as He gives us opportunity. You know, I always think of that verse where it says, be instant in season, out of season. I'll never forget, I had just committed to preaching, and I came across that passage. You know the passage I'm talking about where it says, be instant in season, out of season, you know, for... And so I said, Lord, if you give me an opportunity to speak, I'll take it. Whatever it might be. I'll never forget this. You know, my wife and I had just been married, I think, and we drove up here to visit my mom and dad. Surprise kind of thing. My dad says, hey, how long are you going to be here? I said, well, we're gonna be here Saturday, and then we're going to leave out Sunday afternoon after the morning service. Ah, that's great. Why don't you speak Sunday morning? I just committed this to the Lord, that if the Lord gives me an opportunity to speak, I'll speak. And okay, I will. Okay. And you know what? The Lord blessed that. Okay. He blessed the opportunity. And I'm not saying I was begrudging to do it. I'm just saying that I just prayed this, and then all of a sudden, ta-da, you know, this opportunity came that I wasn't expecting, preparing for. And so when we pray those kind of things, let's expect God to give us opportunity to use the gifts that He's given to us for His glory. All right, and that'll just be a blessing to others as well as a blessing for the opportunity to use that gift for the cause of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the blessings You've given to us, we provide for us, we can meet needs and answer prayers. Lord, I pray that You would take this study that we're doing on gifts and, Lord, use it so that we can be effective ministers of the gospel for You, so that we can, Lord, be effective in sharing the truth of Your love to other people, and we can encourage and unify together in this church, and we can, Lord, see the gospel spread. We love You and thank You for all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.